supported me, prayed for me for so many years when I was serving in South Africa, and even now that I've moved on to a different ministry. So I'm excited today to share with you a little bit more about what I'm doing, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk. Yes, already have questions. Wow. Oh, South Africa. Yes. Oh, definitely. Yeah, I was there in January, actually. I went back for the first time for a few weeks. And yeah, you know, it's one of those bittersweet things. I didn't feel like, oh, I wish I was there. I mean, I really feel like I know the Lord called me, you know, he said, this is as far as you're going to go here. And, you know, and I was ready to move on to the next thing. But it was such a joy to see everybody in the church in Westlake is still going. The children's ministry is the thing that's really, really growing, more than even the church attendance. So we praise God for that. And I left it in very good hands. Well, the Lord, of course, takes care of that. But it was a real joy to be back in Cape Town. And I was there during summer, which made it even better while it was snowing here. So praise the Lord. Although I did come home and then there was a snowstorm and we were snowed in all weekend. But you're welcome. Anyway, I am so excited to be here and to share with you a little bit more about what I'm doing now. Because my mom died 3 years ago and my dad is now in Friendship Village, Sunset Hills, but he faces a lot of health issues, I really felt it was important that I be here in St. Louis near him for the remaining time that, you know, the Lord will have him here in this earth. So it's been really nice to be close to him and my sister. But I tell you, it's like moving back to a foreign country. I tell you, America's changed so much since I left in 2008. And every time I would come back, it would just jar me a little bit more. But even when I went back to South Africa in January, I could feel that it had changed. So, you know, the places that we live definitely change as we go. But so this morning, what I want to do is share with you a little bit more about what I'm doing. I served with MTW for the past year, and just as of August 1st, I am now working for Equipping Leaders International. So I basically, the ministry that I work for, PS 78 Teachers, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what that means in just a couple minutes, but PS 78 Teachers was asked, when I joined, was asked by MTW to have given a year to find a new home. And the reason for that is that MTW is focusing on church planting and international RUF, which is University Student Ministry. And so we're not the only ones that were asked actually to find another home. But the Lord has graciously provided, and we are really happy at Equipping Leaders International. And I'll be sharing a little bit more about what that is in just a moment. Let's see. Can you go to the... Oh, that is number two, isn't it? Okay, great. So PS 78 Teachers is a ministry that was started by Dr. Carla Stevens. She has been a longtime MTW missionary, and she started this ministry in 2014. Basically, PS 78 is named for Psalm 78, verse 4, and I'll tell you that verse in just a minute. But basically, she and Dr. Quinton Nance... who are much smarter than I am. They have doctorates in education. You know, God always brings me through the back door in every ministry I do. You know, I don't have a degree in teaching. I don't have a degree in Bible. You know, I've taken different classes, and I don't have a degree. Again, I don't have a degree in teaching. So, like, I feel like God just kind of puts me in these places that'll keep me humble because I'm never an expert. And I thank him for that. Next slide. So, PS 78 Teachers is named for Psalm 78, especially verse 4, which says, "We will not hide, but tell to the coming generations the glorious deeds of the Lord." If you read your Old Testament well, you will find over and over again that Israel failed to pass on the glorious deeds of the Lord to the next generation many times. And because of that, there grew up a generation that neither knew the Lord nor followed him, and then they find that they're, you know, Israel's actually following other gods and not the Lord. And so we see the disastrous effects of Israelites not passing things up, passing on the truth of the word to the next generation and the devastating effects of that. We don't want to be guilty of that. We have the Holy Spirit now. I praise God for that. I honestly don't know how people coped without the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, but praise God that we can now actually, with his strength, share with our children and trust that the Lord will bring them to faith in Christ. Next slide. Our mission statement with PS78 Teachers is to actually start Christian schools to help evangelical churches worldwide to start Christian schools and to equip teachers for those schools. So you will see, especially in Africa, there is a real lack of schools. And the reason for that is that often governments will get funds and then they will misuse them. And instead of starting new schools and equipping more teachers, they will use the money for something else. And in response to that, we have seen the church step up. The Catholic Church has started schools. The Seventh-day Adventists have started schools. So what if we actually start schools that are based on Reformed teaching from God's Word? What if we helped raise up a next generation of children who knew him? 95 million children in sub-Saharan Africa don't even go to school, don't have a school to go to. So what if we help meet that need and do it in a way that can bring them and their families, hopefully, to faith in Jesus? Next slide. So I want to tell you a little bit about ELI. Equipping Leaders International is an amazing movement. It's interesting because as soon as we moved over to ELI, I realized how blessed we were with MTW and that they kind of take care of a lot of things for us that ELI does not, because they're much smaller and they're just growing and starting out. But the Lord has really blessed us. ELI has a really effective model of teaching. Their main goal is to equip pastors. 95% of pastors worldwide have no training, no seminary training, no Bible school training. They just are, people see a gift in them and then they take over being a pastor of a church. So ELI is very committed to sending teachers here. They have a wonderful model. I'm going to tell you about that in just a second. Next slide. So their model is based on 2 Timothy 2:2. Okay, you can't forget that, right? It's all twos. 2 Timothy 2:2. And 2 Timothy 2:2 is a beautiful, I just call it multi-level training model. You start, and I'm going to read the verse for you. And the emphasis, the underlines are mine. Okay. It says, "And what you have heard from me," this is Paul speaking to Timothy, "and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So this verse starts with Paul and his relationship with Timothy, and he is training Timothy to lead the church. Well, not only that, there are people around them watching this, okay, watching this training in action. And then on top of that, Timothy will go on and he will entrust to faithful men the teachings that he's learning, and then those men will go on and teach others. That is exactly what ELI does. So their philosophy is not to send, there are many different training models, and there's a lot of value in missionaries going over and living in a place and setting up life and doing life with nationals. This is different in that what we do is what ELI does is they look at people who are already in leadership positions, and they train them so that they can go train others. How incredibly effective, right? They know the language, they know the culture, and as a result of that, next slide. As a result of that, you see 95% of pastors worldwide have no training, okay? But through ELI, they're now working in 41 different nations. They have set up 73 networks, meaning nationals, indigenous-led, indigenous being people that are from there, okay, from the place where they go and work. They have 73 of those networks, and then they're reaching over 50,000 pastors. Now, the founder of ELI really had a dream for education teachers, for equipping Christian teachers for children. So their main emphasis right now is pastors, but they also work with business leaders and train business leaders. And then we now are the new education arm, which is really exciting. This literally just started August 1st. We're still working out what it means. We'll be presenting at the annual meeting for ELI in the end of September, early October, and sharing with them the vision that we have. And they're excited to have us on board as well. Next slide. You might remember, I think I shared last time I was here, maybe I didn't, working with PS78 teachers, our main goal is to equip teachers. And we do that through offering a free Master's of Education, Master of Christian Education. And it's basically material from Covenant College, which is a PCA Christian college in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Basically, that program obviously is only going to be suitable for certain people, right? You have to have a bachelor's degree to do a master's degree. But the idea behind it is to train up people who will then go and train other teachers in their context. And we've been super excited to do that. This is the first group of students. We call that a cohort. And this group of students have been amazing. They're in Uganda. Uganda's our biggest field, but we're also in Liberia. We're starting up in Kenya and Zimbabwe, and then Ethiopia is kind of a work in progress. And we're going to two more places, which I'm really excited to tell you about in a few more slides. But basically, ELI has also asked us to develop a more basic training because not everybody has a bachelor's degree, and they work on a basis of people who have less education, and they want us to follow their model in doing that. So next slide. We are actually writing a module program where we are going to train teachers who don't have as much, don't have background training or maybe a degree, and we're going to train them to not only learn how to teach from a biblical worldview, but to then go and train others. So when they go through one of our modules, we will have five modules, and in those modules will be about four lessons each, which are about an hour, hour and a half long. And when they go, so basically they'll go through one whole training session in a week, and then they will be able to go on and teach others about it. So, for instance, they'll come and they'll learn about the purpose of education. So we'll talk about things like what is the gospel and what is a biblical worldview? What does that even mean? Basically, we want them to learn that every single subject that we teach our kids has to do with God. We don't just talk about God in chapel. A Christian school is not just one where the teachers are Christians and they go to chapel once a week. It's one where every single subject is taught from the reference point of God as the creator. Now, obviously, the Bible is not our textbook for science, right? So God gives us two books. He gives us the written word, and he also gives us creation and what we can learn, and it might, you know, actually some of the people who have discovered a lot of things about the world and how God made it are not even Christians. And it's learning to figure out what can we keep out of what the world teaches and what do we need to disregard because it's not godly. But all that to say, there are five modules: the purpose of education, the Christian teacher, the learner, methods and strategies, and the curriculum. And it's all scripture-based. It's all reflects Reformed theology. So we're super excited. We're in the process of writing this. I'm helping much smarter people than I am put this together. And yeah, it's really humbling me, to say the least. Next slide. So remember, you saw that first group of students in Uganda, okay? Our goal was for them to actually go and teach other teachers in their context how to teach from a biblical worldview. And they have been great about doing that. They haven't even gone through, you know, the module program. They're going through the master's, but they've gone into rural schools like this one, okay, and taught these teachers how to teach from a biblical worldview. You can tell from this setting that she's not someone who's going to have access to the internet, probably. She probably wouldn't be able to do a master's degree online, but she can still learn how to teach from a biblical worldview. And those students in that group picture earlier, they are doing that. They're reaching teachers like this. Next slide. And teachers like this man. Okay, so you can see a lot of schools don't look like our schools in other countries. Okay, they might have fewer resources. Some schools even meet outside, depending on where they are. You could never do that in Cape Town because winter weather is horrible. But it's so wonderful to see how they are passing on what they're learning to other colleagues in their culture. Next slide. I'm not good at making visuals for the internet. There are people that are much better than I am, but I did make this one, and I want you to just look at it for a minute. So if you look at how on the left there's three different teachers, okay? So those stick figures represent teachers. And the one in the middle is one of our master students. So let's just pretend we have a master student going through the Master of Arts in Christian Education. And as they learn and go through the program, they're also teaching two other teachers how to do the same. Now, those two other teachers might not be in the master's program. They might just be teachers that they know, kind of in the teachers in those two pictures we saw in rural schools. But they're teaching them. Now, just imagine for a moment, okay, that each teacher has 30 kids in their class. Now, we just saw two classrooms that didn't have 30 children. But the classroom in Westlake, where I worked in South Africa, they had 50 kids. So that's just meant to be kind of an average. But you imagine that a teacher can influence 30 kids and their families, right? By teaching from a Christian biblical worldview. Then let's say that they're training two other teachers. They each have 30 kids, average maybe. And they're reaching those parents. You've already reached over 100 people easily, okay, with just one degree program. And that's what we want to do. We want to multiply, kind of like ELI multiplies the number of people reached. We want to train people in their culture to be able to go out and share what they learn with others, their colleagues, their fellow teachers, whether in an urban setting or in a rural setting. Next slide. Well, another thing that we get to do that I'm super excited about is that we go and do parent workshops. So just to give you a little bit of a basis, I haven't explained this well yet, but Carla Stevens and I, Dr. Carla Stevens, who started PS78 Teachers, she and I and Quentin, we all live in the States, but we make 4 to 5 trips overseas each year. Now, this past year has been an exception, and I would ask you to pray. Carla's had to have knee surgery twice, and so that's kind of put that on hold. So we haven't done any trips, except I've gone to South Africa and visited some schools. But normally, we would go and do that. Well, when we go and visit, PS78 teachers will do teacher workshops and parent workshops. We have probably reached over 1,000 teachers with doing just a mini course on what a biblical worldview is. But then we also do parent workshops. And I don't know about you, how many of you knew how to parent as a Christian, knew what the Bible said about parenting when you started out parenting. But, you know, a lot of people in Africa, they're never taught that the Bible says something about how they discipline their children. They have no idea. So some of them would come to these workshops, and the men especially would just be astounded at the fact that the Word of God says something about how to discipline. They just listened to their culture. They would beat their kids, you know, and they would let it go, and pent up all this anger, and then they would beat their kids. So they were so amazed to find out that the Bible says something about how they discipline their kids. Some of the men actually got up and did a little skit demonstrating how not to do it. In other words, what they'd been doing, beating their kids. And then they did a skit showing what they were going to do now. There's a lot of, we have a lot of access to good resources, to good Christian teaching. But other cultures don't necessarily have that. And they're not necessarily taught in church how to be good husbands or wives or parents. So, you know, there's a lot of room for us to help out with that and just to share some of our knowledge. Next slide. When we go and do these workshops, we go and visit each of our cohorts, each of our groups of students that are in our master's degree, and we do in-person classes with them. Now, these teachers come on their school holiday. I don't know about you, I don't know a lot of teachers that actually want to go and be in a classroom during their school holiday time, but they love it. They will come and they will meet together. I think probably because they don't have to even take care of their own kids for a week. They can just go and learn. But it's really exciting to see how they are switched on and excited. And they come and they basically do what they would normally do individually in together as a group. So they would have the lesson in person. They would meet in their study groups in together in person. And it's exciting to see how excited they get. And then on top of that, we would invite parents from the local churches to come for those parent workshops, like I was telling you about. Next slide. One of my jobs is to do orientations for new students. We are so excited to now have a new partnership branching out into South America for the first time. And I've become friends with and gotten to know a pastor named Gerson Cruz. He's in Cochabamba, Bolivia. Two pastors in PCA churches in Southern Illinois and in St. Louis area actually know him and have been working with him and providing theological education. He is so switched on, and he is so excited. So we're excited to be going to Bolivia, hopefully going to visit there soon. Next slide. I recently had a Zoom orientation with Pastor Cruz. He's in winter right now, so he's all bundled up, and I'm sweating to death. But basically, it was wonderful to talk to him and hear his passion for reaching kids for Christ. In Cochabamba, in the public schools, these Christian parents discovered that their children are being taught some things in school that they don't want their kids to learn. One of those is how to sacrifice to the gods of the indigenous people, which would be descendants of Incas, the Inca Indians. So they don't want their kids to learn that. Now, in Bolivia, you have to have your child registered in a public school whether or not they go there. So what they've done is they've started a homeschool network, and they want to start a Christian school. So right now it's 14 kids, but pray, because Carla is going to help them start a Christian school, and Pastor Cruz is going to go through our master's program. We don't just have, this program isn't just for pastors, for teachers. It's also, we have pastors, because they want to learn how to reach the kids in their churches. And he is super excited to be, you know, to just to see what we're doing and to be able to be a part of it. So please pray for him and others in their network there that might be joining our program. Next slide. And I'm super excited to say this. This isn't actually a result of my doing, but we just accepted an application for our first student from Cape Town, South Africa. In our master's program. So part of my role is not only to help to administrate new students coming into the program and help them get oriented, but also to oversee two cohorts of students. So I will be in charge of Bolivia. I have a master's in Spanish, so I'll be able to help a bit with that. And then also I'll be overseeing the South Africa cohort. So I'm super excited about this. I'm really excited to be a part of this. So please pray for that program and pray that others would also join. You know, one of the reasons we do both an online and an in-person degree program is because if you're you know, we are probably used to using the internet. We could figure out how to do a degree online and probably manage okay. But people in Africa, especially where you have power outages, that's a hard thing to keep going and doing. A lot of these, our students are actually full-time teachers. They're parents. They're involved in a church. They have a lot going on in their lives. And if you're just doing this on your own, it can be, you could really get to a point where you're just not motivated to continue because it's hard. So what we want to do is we want them to study in cohorts or study groups. So one time per lesson, per course, they meet with a group of people also going through the course, and they talk about what they learned in that lesson and how they're going to apply it in their classrooms. We ask that our students have access to a classroom. So we will get these pastors who will actually go teach Sunday school while they're going through the program so that they have access to a classroom as well. Why? Because studies show that, especially with adults, that when they're learning, if they don't start applying right away with their learning and wait until the whole degree is done, chances are they won't apply everything that they've learned. So the idea is for them to apply it as they go along, and we are encouraging them in that process. We're super excited about that. Next slide. Just in closing, I wanted to ask for prayer for a few things, and then I'll take some questions. I'm really thankful to the Lord. It has been, I won't lie to you, it has been a really hard year for raising support. When you live in the States, I think people automatically are like, no. You know, they want to support people who are actually living overseas. The reason we live here and go is because we have students in so many places, and because our online degree has to be headquartered somewhere, and it's the technology, it's the best to do it here in the States. So Carla and I will be traveling a lot more in the next year, but at this current time, I'm at 62% of my support. And I had a really healthy, big balance left with MTW that I've been able to use the past year, and we actually get to take that with us to ELI, so that's in the process of getting transferred over. So we're excited about that. I have 8 churches that are supporting me, but only one that gives regularly is here in St. Louis. The rest are in Florida or in Southern Illinois, and yeah, I'm part of the PCA, so it's been kind of hard. My own presbytery, you know, is basically, I think people don't understand it, or they're not on board. But please pray that I would be able to share in such a way that they would understand the ministry and would want to be a part of it. I know the Lord will provide, and it doesn't have to be through PCA churches. This church has been amazing. This church has you've been incredibly supportive of me for many, many years, and I can't thank you all enough for that. Another thing I would ask for you to pray for is just our adjustment to being with a new mission board. There's a lot of things with this mission board that are different. One of them is that I have to pay for my own health care, and also I have to pay the whole amount of my Social Security, which is 15%. Normally your employer pays half of that. So you can pray for that. That means I have to raise a little bit more than I would have had to before. But that's, you know, the Lord knows. It's okay. He can provide it. I know he can. Please pray for Carla Stevens and I as we visit some of our students, hopefully in November and January. We're hoping to go. Pray that the doors would open and the national partners there that we need to meet with would be able to help us. To guide us through our time there. I was meant to go actually this month to Kenya, and that fell through, but we have 4 presbyteries in Kenya that want to start Christian schools. It's such an exciting time. So pray that those doors would stay open and that we would be able to get there and help them in that process. Please pray for Carla as well as she continues to recover from knee surgery. She basically had knee surgery and they messed it up, so she had to have knee surgery again to correct it. So it's been hard. She just turned 70, so obviously you all know how our bodies just don't work quite the same way as we get older. And please pray for our new cohorts in Bolivia and in South Africa. Pray for me as I facilitate them and oversee them. And also, I'm doing the master's courses, so pray that I'll stay ahead as we go along. I really appreciate the opportunity to share today. And I just, before I take any questions, I just wanted to ask or tell you all that I have a sign-up sheet outside for my prayer updates if you want to receive my monthly prayer updates. I also have some brochures, and prayer cards are kind of a work in progress, but there is a prayer card out there. I'm just warning you that when you turn it over and you try to read the biography, you probably need a magnifying glass because, yeah, the way that they do prayer cards is a little different. But anyway, you feel free to take one with magnets or without. I really appreciate just the opportunity to be here and to see you all again and to share with you. Does anyone have any questions? Yes. They do. Yes, they work in Asia. They work in Southeast Asia. They also work in Australia, New Zealand. But yeah, they are working. Yes, and that's a shame because South Korea used to be so on fire for the Lord, and they, you know, I know they had a change in leadership as well, government, that's been an issue. But yeah, pray for South Korea, pray for Asia. But they do. They're pretty much active on most continents. Yes. Yes. So basically, yeah, they would teach everything from a perspective of the Bible. Whether they would teach, which of those they would teach, because I'm not sure. Long ages, what do you? I can't say for sure, but I would guess that they would do the creation story from the Bible. I'm not exactly sure. What they would do is they would say, you know what, when especially older kids, when you get out in the world, this is what the world is saying, okay? And, you know, we don't know the exact timing. I don't want to get in an argument, maybe we do, I don't know. But I'm not sure exactly which of those they would teach, but I would think it would be more towards using Genesis 1 and 2 as it is. Instead, but they would probably teach, this is what the world teaches as well. This is what you might find. We look to the Lord for wisdom and guidance about understanding how he made the world. We don't look at the Bible. The Bible isn't a textbook per se, but it definitely is a guideline. You know, God also gave us a lot of latitude within this world through science. He's blessed us with people who understand things, even if they don't know him. And part of being a Christian teacher is learning to discern the good from the bad. And we want our kids to understand what's going on in the world as well and what they're going to face. But we want them to know, hey, this is what the Bible says. Now, some people don't believe that. They believe there was this big explosion, the Big Bang, and everything just kind of turned out the way it is, and which I think actually takes more faith than believing in God and the Bible. But there you go. I don't know if I can exactly answer your question. Our program would tend towards a more Reformed theology view on things like that. So. Well, thank you for allowing me that. Yes, sure.
One question, do you keep in touch with folks you live in years in South Africa?
Have I been able to? Yes. So WhatsApp, I love WhatsApp. I don't know if you know what that app is, but it is amazing because it allows you to text message, so to speak, and talk. You can actually call people on it. Worldwide, so it just requires internet. It doesn't require, whereas if I texted somebody in South Africa, that would cost a lot of money. and phoning them. So we it's a great resource. I still keep in touch with the church. I read their WhatsApp messages every day. I just talked to a good friend in Cape Town last week. I have a daughter, so to speak, and son-in-law, and my adopted grandparents, or adopted grandkids, shall we say, that I keep in touch with regularly. But you can pray for South Africa. It's going through a lot. They're uncovering a lot more corruption, and whistleblowers are getting killed, and it's a hard situation. Having said that, don't believe everything that you hear from our government about what's going on there. It's definitely, they have a lot of challenges, and their unemployment rate's up to 33%, so that's really hard. Yeah. I didn't. I did go talk to like 3 or 4 schools while I was there, but this specific student was not somebody I met. But we will go back because there's another person as well that's interested in applying. So once we get a cohort going, a study group going, but even if I just meet with this first student, Davida Visser, even if I just meet with her, she can get trained even before she's done with the master's program. She can get trained and start leading another cohort, another group of students that comes up. So, yeah, the thing that's hard is that our program's not accredited, and so South Africa, especially, they're on a level where they do require accreditation across the board for everything. There's other African countries where you can kind of get in without that being an issue, but South Africa is very much, you know, really sits on this fence of first world, third world. And it's far more third world than it is first. The majority of the people do live in poverty or probably below the poverty line. But, they do still require accreditation, yeah. Well, this is the thing. So we'd have to get it accredited in South Africa specifically. So we're in the process of getting accredited in Uganda. And, of course, these things take a long time. Because nobody's in a hurry to move this through the process. We're in the process of getting it accredited through MINCE. MINCE is Miami International Seminary. It's a lot like ELI, except that it's actually offering its own seminary degree to students overseas for free. So they're located in Miami, but it's basically in someone's garage. In other words, they've started training pastors all over the world to also go out and train other pastors. So we would get our program accredited through MINCE. Yeah, we can't get it accredited if we were to, because we're using Covenant College's Master of Education degree. If we were to get accredited by them, we would have to offer our classes at the same rate and at the same time as they do. And that just doesn't work when you're working overseas with, you know, there's a lot of these countries are on a calendar schedule for school. They're not on a, you know, August to May like we are because their seasons are different. So it's just not practical for us to get accredited by them. But, you know, we really do want to offer something that equips people. And a lot of our Bible courses, if there's not a MINCE program in an area where they offer the degree, we offer the degree, they use Third Mill Bible material, which is really sound as well. So it's exciting. It's exciting to see people learning. Well, thank you all again. It's a joy to be here, and I hope to talk to you after Sunday school or after worship.